place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Live from the 18th floor of the beautiful... Is there a name for this building? Let's call it the WGN building.
Wait, the tower. The WGN Tower.
WGN Tower. Live from the 18th floor of the WGN Tower. 303 East Wacker. Is it darker out this morning?
Yes, it is.
What's going on? The sun. Is the sun not coming up today?
I don't think so.
Sun's taking Friday off?
Chicago did not pay its electric bill.
Oh, that could be the case.
Supposed to be cloudy all day.
Oh, because, you know,
thunderstorms.
You come in, you look out at the lake, you go, where's the sun? And if the sun's not there, well, that's not good.
Normally, we see a glow on the horizon. We don't even see the glow.
Hmm. It's been a beautiful week. Unfortunately, the weekend, not so good.
Is it going to rain all day?
It's cloudy, breezy showers, thunderstorms. Tonight, I think.
She does weather and traffic.
Yes.
And we don't need rain tonight. We got a stand-up comedy show. We got people that don't want to be soaking wet. I don't want hundreds of soaking wet people in there. You know what that's going to smell like at the Beverly Arts Center?
Yeah, that'll sound bad.
Yeah, we could actually even have severe thunderstorms today, too, guys.
And so. There's a lot of football games today. There's a lot of homecomings this weekend. Yeah, so they won't be coming to the...
Oh, man.
Oh, that's too bad, actually. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right, we got a lot to do, so let's get after it. Here comes the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
President of the United States continues to live in a fake mob movie. That's item number one. He told U.S. diplomats that whoever gave the whistleblower information was, quote, close to a spy. And added, you know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart and spies and treason? I mean, you know, right? Trump said at the United Nations on Thursday, we used to handle it differently than we do now. Speaker Nancy Pelosi accused the White House of engaging in a cover-up of the Ukraine call as the impeachment questions slowly roll on. Never mind. Next, former French President Jacques Chirac, who led the country for 12 years, from 1995 to 2007, has died. He was 86 years old. Chirac gained attention in international notoriety near the start of his second term when he stood up to George W. Bush as the American leader, pushed his case for war with Iraq in the United Nations. And as far as you know, it wasn't because Iraq rhymed with Chirac. He really felt strongly that we shouldn't have done it. So Jacques Chirac, famous leader of France for, 12 years. That's a long time. It's a long time to be the boss. Has passed, so that's a big deal there. Next, U.S. Immigration and Customs introduced Robert Gaudian as the new head of its deportation forces in the Midwest during a news conference Thursday, where he sought to reframe how groups and lawmakers refer to the agency's mission to deport authorized immigrants. He says, unauthorized immigrants, I should say. He said, we don't conduct raids. We conduct targeted arrests. They're not afraid. They're less than happy. They're not being forcibly removed from the country. They're being taken to the border and pushed. I mean, you know, look, the guy's got to do a job, but let's play around with semantics. It is what it is. Yeah, but do you feel better about it after I described it that way?
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong then. Next, the annual NFL championship game. That would be the Super Bowl. Will be played at Miami's... Yeah, I refuse to not say Super Bowl.
You're allowed. This is within a news story. You can say Super Bowl. You just can't say Super Bowl in a commercial or a contest unless...
So I shouldn't say we're giving away Super Bowl tickets?
Probably not.
I mean, we don't have them. That would be the number one problem with
that
contest.
Well, that would be one, yes.
Second, or the annual NFL Super Bowl. That's already thrown me off.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl will be played at Miami's Hard Rock Stadium on February 2nd. J-Lo and Shakira... and I have a strong affinity for Shakira because, like her, my hips don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people have noticed that. They're going to be the headliners at the Super Bowl halftime show. The singer shared the news Thursday on Twitter, with the NFL confirming the news shortly after, and they're going to be there. I mean, J-Lo is she's 50 now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks better than ever.
Yeah.
She looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there was, she was trending yesterday because.
Well, she could. I mean, the shape she's in. She can trend all day.
She was trending because of an old interview that has resurfaced and is making the rounds where she disses a lot of famous actresses like Gwyneth Paltrow and Salma Hayek. And she was saying that they couldn't, basically, weren't as great of actresses as, you know, she could. But she says that it was taken out of context, but that's been recirculating.
Well, how would you take that out of context?
Well, she says the whole interview that she was misquoted and that, you know, it was edited to in a way that it sounded negative and harsher.
Anything anybody doesn't like on this show is all out of context.
Except
anything. I mean, I may have said it, and when I said it, I may have meant it, but if you don't like it, it's out of context. That's the rule. Next. A major Chinese airline had a bit of a problem. One of the passengers on board delayed the flight's departure by an hour. She decided to open the emergency exit door of the aircraft because she felt the cabin was a little too stuffy. It's not your house!
Holy mackerel.
Who wants some air? Raise your hand.
Well, at least she did it on the ground.
I mean, it's pretty complicated to open an emergency door.
It should be. Yeah, apparently it should be more complicated. and then there's this. Next, starting September 30th, McDonald's is going to start selling what they call the PLT. The PLT is plant, lettuce, and tomato. This is such good news for you, Dave. You can go to McDonald's now and feel good about yourself.
You know, here's the thing. I don't love tomato.
How can you not love tomato?
What are you, a commie? PLT without, but hold the
if
tomato.
If you get a tomato that isn't in season and isn't ripe and juicy and delicious, that is really terrible.
Yeah.
But if you have a great tomato, there's nothing better than a fully ripened, homegrown, beautiful tomato.
No, Why are you so fussy?
You know, I like the little cherry tomatoes.
I
like those.
Those don't roll off. You like a little sweeter.
Yeah, you don't like the...
I like sun-dried tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes are like a chihuahua. They're like a tomato starter kit.
Right.
They're not actually a tomato.
Why are we also concerned about the tomato? Shouldn't we be concerned about the plant?
Oh, that's
no,
the good
this
part.
Is good, Mary. What are you talking about? It's more options for people that want to eat healthier.
Well, I agree, but what is the plant?
That's a good point. What is the plant?
Hold on.
What kind of plant is that?
Stop.
Okay.
Everyone just settle down.
Here we go.
If you want to eat healthy, you don't go to McDonald's. McDonald's is not the place you go if you want to have your, quote, healthy lunch, dinner, breakfast, whatever experience. I mean, it's nice that they give you an option if you're in the car with regular people.
Even though the yogurt parfait is good.
You could be driving. It might be the only place around. Like, you might be in a car with a bunch of people that want to get a Big Mac, and then you might want to go for the plant option.
If you're on...
You could go for the plant option by stopping at the roads, at the rest stop, using the lavatory, the restroom, the bathroom, and then coming out and gnawing on a bush that's next to your car. I mean, there's plants everywhere.
Yeah, but that gets old.
This is the evolution, Steve Cochran. Join it, okay? It's all about the Beyond Burger.
I've had Beyond Burgers.
Yeah.
What's the one that Whole Foods sells? Beyond Meat.
That's Beyond. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's also the Impossible Burger.
And the Beyonce Burger.
Yeah. What's the one I have, Dave?
That's the Beyond.
Beyond Burger?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And they have Beyond Sausage.
I've had the Bed Bath & Beyond Burger.
It's a little soapy, isn't it?
The P in the PLT just looks like a veggie burger, basically. This is a plant-based burger.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no artificial stuff.
Yeah. I was picturing like a...
Wow.
Did I mention this? If you're looking for healthy food, don't go to McDonald's. All right, we got to take a break. We're coming back. Lou Manfredini will join us in a moment. If you would like, be the first caller for Lou Manfredini right now, and you can ask anything you want. Anything. He'd love to be able to help. By the way, you guys say hi to Kassara? Kassara's pushing the buttons today.
Saw Kassara.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we like Kassara.
We didn't say hi to Viv either. Good morning, Viv.
We don't like Viv as much. No, we love Viv. And Viv's here as well, and her boyfriend George is back in town. So he's supposedly coming by.
George is back in town.
That's the musical director, John DeCosta. He's here as well. 6:21. Steve, what's up at 6:30?
Steve, a teacher strike in Chicago is another step closer to reality. The Chicago Teachers Union yesterday voted by a huge margin to authorize a work stoppage if contract negotiations don't produce any movement. We'll have that for you at 6:30 from the WGN newsroom.
All clear in the Edens on the Kennedy, about 28 minutes both directions between O'Hare and downtown. Inbound Eisenhower 40 from 390. from Mannheim about 25 minutes. The inbound Stevenson from the Tri-State 26. And the Ryan is starting to build in from Roosevelt Bishop Ford. Minor delays at 103rd. Lakeshore Drive still looking good. Accident Chicago Ridge, Harlem, and 103rd. Also at Cermak and Ashland. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Mayor Vandeveld from the IDOT Traffic Center reminding you to drive responsibly. It really is a matter of life or death.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
News
First Call.
626. Engineer Bob got it done. The show can now continue. As we have Lou join us live from Channel 9 this morning. Good morning.
How are you?
Hi, buddy. How are you today?
I am fantastico.
Oh, that's good to hear. I always like when you're Italian.
Well, that could be Spanish. You know, I just got back from South America.
Where were you in South America?
I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
That's a long flight.
It's a really long flight. And then I was in Santiago, Chile.
What were you doing there?
Our daughter Mallory is studying in Buenos Aires.
What's she studying?
Español.
Couldn't she do that, say, in Chicago at a Spanish class?
Well, I mean, sure.
Oh, she's getting the international experience.
Yeah, she's living with a host mother who only speaks Espanol, who's very sweet.
Well, she's a great kid, so I'm glad you're letting her do that.
Yeah, it was really, you know, South America was never on our radar, and it was really, really cool.
And then you went separately to Santiago.
With Mallory and
but, I mean, separate from the trip specifically to see her, you took a little adventure.
Yeah, and we went to Santiago, which is really, Chile is a beautiful city.
Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the greatest thing about Santiago, Chile?
We went to, it's
Did
a very
you go to
modern
an Ace
city.
Hardware there?
There are no Ace Hardwares in there. Actually, it's funny. I met a woman. We went to an alpaca farm.
Okay.
And I started talking with this woman who runs the alpaca farm. Here's the, you know, how small the world is. She's actually Mexican, but owns an alpaca farm where they shear them, make the wool, and then make clothing. She raised her family in Lake Forest.
So wild.
Wow.
No matter where you go,
I go, what? She goes, oh, yeah, my kids, we lived in Lake Forest. My kids went to Libertyville High School. I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden I said, oh, blah, blah, blah. We talked about a hardware store. She goes, we need an Ace Hardware store in Santiago, Chile.
Okay. And 2 hours later,
I can make
Lou
that happen.
Opened it.
Right.
Superman. All right. Standing by on the phone is Karen. Karen's from Des Plaines, but she'd love to go to Santiago. Good morning, Karen.
Oh, I would love to go to Santiago. And Lou, send me an alpaca sweater, please.
Yeah, get that done, Lou. Chop. What's your question, Karen?
I appreciate you taking my call, and good morning to everyone, WGN. Lou, in the past, you have talked about a product that for snow, to assist you with snow removal. It's an application that you can apply to sidewalks or driveways. And with all the rain that we've had, I'm thinking that there's going to be a lot of snow coming this winter. Mm. Is there something, can you refresh my memory on the product that you had suggested in the past?
It's called liquid calcium chloride, and there's a couple different brands. One brand is called liquid snow shovel. And what it is you put it into a pump sprayer, and it's the same ice melt that you put that's granule, but it's a liquid form. And the idea behind it is, you know, we're so good at predicting snowfall and whatnot with our weather people that we have here in Chicago in particular. The night before it's going to snow, you go out with a pump sprayer and you apply it to the sidewalk or the driveway, and it soaks in. And then when it snows, if it's a light snow, the snow will just dissipate. It will be gone. If it's a heavy snow, it'll still, you know, obviously build up. But when you go to shovel it, it won't stick because it's almost like, you know, it's like when you put moisturizer on your face in the morning before you put your makeup on, Steve.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's better for your skin.
I know.
And that's why you've got that baby smooth skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's right.
Right. And so you put that on, and then the thing is, as you use it more during the season, there's a little bit of a residual value to it, and so you actually don't have to apply it every time. You may notice that, you know, if you started using this in December a couple times, January comes and you're like, oh, I forgot to do it. You go out there and shovel, or there'll be a light snow, and it'll just be gone, and it won't harm the vegetation. You know, because you can apply it more carefully, where with the granule you end up, you know, spreading it all over the place. And it won't harm the concrete or the asphalt or whatever brick pavers.
Liquid snow shovel
is one of the brands. It's actually liquid calcium chloride.
Okay. All right. So keep that in mind, because eventually there will be snow. Yeah. But let's not talk about that too soon. You're on Channel 9 here in a few minutes. John, you have a quick question?
I do. Hi, Lou. Good morning. I heard you say this a few weeks ago. So the track on my garage, if I, to lubricate it, I don't do it on the track?
No, not on the track. Not on where the wheels go on the track. You never want to lubricate that because it attracts dust. Where you want to lubricate it is where each one of those wheels are. There's a pin that holds the wheel to the door. Okay. And you want to lubricate the pin that kind of slides back and forth. And if you want to put a little lubrication on the wheel itself where it connects to the pin, that's fine. But you're actually better off taking a rag and wiping the inside edge of that track to get all that dirt on there. If you put oil in there, it'll attract dirt, and then the door will kind of is more prone to sticking and you know, not working properly.
Also, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
And
how do I make that it continues to go round and round?
Well, at the end, you say all through the town.
Okay, yeah. Good. And then you're good.
You just say that right at the end. It just keeps going.
Great weekend.
ALL.
I'm going to have you two take this up off the air. Thank you, Lou.
Love you.
Love you. See ya. Bye. That's Lou Manfredini, and our headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 6:42 now, and we're in a historical crossroads here in regards to impeaching the president. This has only happened two other times. This will be the third. Everybody counts Nixon as an impeachment, but Nixon resigned. So let's go back to Andrew Johnson. Everybody remember Andrew Johnson? This is all from USA Today this morning. Andrew Johnson. Remember Andrew Johnson?
Vice president to Abraham Lincoln.
That's right. Became the 17th president of the United States. Served one term from 1865 to 1869. Was impeached by the House in 1868 after a political conflict with Congress. Seems he didn't like Reconstruction so much, and he thought black folks should still probably not have the same rights. And he also removed Secretary of War Edwin Stanton, who became a Civil War hero because of how he had managed the war. So one vote in the Senate short of removing him from office. So Andrew Johnson, who, by the way, we tried to book today, not available.
Oh.
Yeah, not available for the show.
Is he living near Chicago now?
He is. He's in Tinley. Yeah, he's got a place there. Bill Clinton, of course. Bill Clinton served from 1993 to 2001, was impeached for perjury and obstruction of justice in the wake of his extramarital affair with White House intern Monica Lewinsky. Similar to Johnson, the Senate failed to get the two-thirds majority for a conviction. So Clinton went on to serve the remainder of the second term in office. People refer to impeachment, you know, as a general term and an all-encompassing term. There's impeachment, and then there's a trial in the Senate to confirm not only the impeachment, but then remove the president from office. It's a two-step process for a reason. There's some talk going on now that if it goes this way and a full impeachment is done by the House, they send it over to the Senate for trial, and there's a question on whether Mitch, I'll stall anything I want, McConnell, would even do the trial. That Mitch McConnell might once again flout the Constitution and say, we're not doing it.
Wow.
Now, that's all speculation. The almost one was, again, Richard Nixon. The House Judiciary Committee approved three articles of impeachment against him. Abuse of power, contempt of Congress, but Nixon resigned before the charges were taken up by the full House. And that's what this inquiry is allegedly for. It's not just slow walking by Nancy Pelosi and an election concern, though certainly they're all of the same color in that regard. The inquiry is almost a continual 24/7 headcount to see if they get to a point where the full House will take this up and it's a winner, which you would think it should be because of the majority of Dems. And in addition to that, what the public's temperature is on this, based on the fallibility of polls, I wonder what poll they're counting on. So what's going to become of Trump? Well, if he stopped talking for a while, that probably would help his case. The only two cases of literal impeachment, Andrew Johnson and Clinton. And we're not there yet with Trump. Any questions on today's history class?
No, I just appreciate this history class. In fact, this segment was sponsored by Signature Bank.
Ah, see what you did there?
Mm-hmm.
Look what you did there.
I like that summation. You're a great history professor.
That was really good, actually.
Yeah.
Put it in layman's terms.
It's kind of like Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without the music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only problem.
Maybe you should add some music.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good thing.
Come on, John. Get on it.
Sorry.
Now, we will do a text question today, and this has nothing to do with the situation we're in with Donald Trump. So don't confuse this with anything that sounds like it has something to do with that. Nothing to do with it at all.
Why are you saying all of that? It's making me worried.
No, it's got nothing to do with it. Oh. Here's today's text question.
Okay.
What's the biggest screw-up you ever had at work? What's the biggest goof-up you ever had at work? What's the dumbest thing you ever did at work?
I can't talk about it.
Well, then you shouldn't text me at 312-981-7200.
No, I can't. I'll tell you during the commercial break.
And then I'll bring it up and say it was someone I heard about, and I won't say it was you.
Exactly.
312-981-7200. What's the biggest mistake you ever made at work?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm adapting this. Listen. I'm going to a place called Prague.
Oh,
it's gonna be a little chilly. I'll bring a coat, maybe a light wrap.
You're going to buy me a garnet.
Do you not own any garnet?
No, I'm just
are you garnet free?
That's what you're supposed to buy. That's what Vera.
It's on the list.
Your coach, your language coach, told you that's what you're going to bring back for me, Viv, Mary Vanderbilt, and also now Cassara too,
and my wife.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And Dave's wife.
I'm going to.
Get bigger and bigger.
I go to a new place called Just Garnets. Yeah.
Garnet. Good. They should give you a deal.
All right. So, texters are already chiming in. And again, this has nothing to do with President Trump and what's happening at the White House and things that have happened. Okay. What's the dumbest thing you ever did at work? 630. I trusted a coworker.
Oh, that sounds like there's a lot. That's a deeper,
it's a big story there.
Yeah, bigger story, yes.
847, I became aware that a coworker was going to be fired. I told my best friend at the company, and she didn't keep the secret. He found out before the bosses had a chance to talk to him. You know, if I had a nickel for every time I was fired. Well, I mean, I
you do have a nickel.
Yeah, I've got nickels. 608, biggest mistake I ever made at work, taking the job.
Wow.
630, biggest mistake I ever made at work, I flew to the wrong city. That'd be awkward.
You know, I did once, don't judge me, I did once show up at O'Hare for a flight that was supposed to be at Midway.
I've done that. Yeah, I did that once.
It wasn't like a Southwest Airlines. It was like an airline that flies out of both. I don't know. Is there one?
No, I did that as well. And I ended up having taken a cab. It was before Uber. I ended up taking a cab from, it was either Midway to O'Hare, O'Hare to Midway, and it was like $12,000.
Was it?
Yeah.
Good thing you had all those nickels.
815, I was making fun of my boss, sent her the email instead of the woman I worked with.
How many of these do you think involve sending an email?
Sure.
When somebody shouldn't have hit send, and they did.
Do you remember when I did this to Marilyn Miller, the legendary producer of Wally Phillips Show?
No.
Marilyn was in charge of our Cubs ticket giveaways. This is 2004, 5, somewhere in there. And we had a dope in sales who thought it was hilarious whenever a funny email would be sent my way or his way. And I enjoyed entertaining him. So I saw that he had won tickets. And I was on the air at the time. And I just, you know, quickly hit a reply. And the reply that I sent was profane. Oh, and it turns out I sent it to Marilyn.
Oh, no.
This lovely woman.
Yes.
I told him. He laughed so hard he fell out of his chair. And then I had to go to her. Well, I didn't have to. I did go to her and apologize. And I felt like I was 12 years old. She, however, couldn't have been nicer about the whole thing. She goes, I understand. I raised three boys.
She's like, I know that you're immature.
That's not the worst thing I've done at work. I'm sure there's worse than that.
You know, but especially with these inter-office messaging systems as well, you could have several windows where you're communicating with several people, mm-hmm. and then you might send the message quickly to someone that you didn't want to send it to.
Or the reply all sure. versus just reply. Right.
Well, I think it's a text thing now, too, the danger of text messaging, because it's so fast to text, and you can text the wrong person.
I've had several friends who sent... was trying to send a photo maybe to their boyfriend or girlfriend, and then it goes to mom or dad.
So, mom, look at me naked.
I didn't say sexting. You took it there.
6:55. Mary Vanderbilt, yesterday we talked about, and thankfully you cleared up the story. We talked about this little girl who was in her backyard when a coyote?
Yes. What? Yes.
A coyote started chasing her kid around, and the Ring doorbell video camera picked it up.
It was actually the front yard, I'm pretty sure.
So, yeah, well, I guess so if the doorbell camera picked up. So, anyway, the good news is the little girl's okay. But because of that discussion yesterday, we now have a coyote on the phone who wants to clear up what he feels is a reputation problem for the coyotes.
Thank goodness we found him, because all of Villa Park is on the hunt for this.
I don't know if it's that coyote. Good morning.
I think there's a few of them.
Is this Wiley?
Excuse me. Good morning, Mr. Cochran. Good day to you.
And good day to you. Are you an actual coyote?
I am an actual coyote. I'm Caleb. I'm an attorney for coyotes. I work for the law firm Coyote Shepherd and Wolf.
All right, so you represent coyotes. Now, why a law firm?
Well, no, it's just because I'm an attorney, and that's how we discuss it. I started a program. It's a union for coyotes about 12 years ago, and it's in our union is called Everyone is Equal in Our Organization, and I've been president of the EIEIO for 12 years.
That's very nice, and good for you. So you wanted to clear up some myths about coyotes and the things that you say I in particular am spreading?
Well, there's a couple of things here, and I think everyone needs to know this. First of all, we were brought to Chicago. Mm-hmm. We were brought to control the rat problem. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but Alderman Brian Hopkins is looking to protect us because of the great work that we have done with small vermin.
Okay.
And we came to Chicago to do that. Mm-hmm. It was a total mistake. We feel horrible for that little girl. Mm-hmm. The situation was this. We have a great union. We have great medical. We have great dental. We also have eye exams. And Mark, who is the coyote in question, did not have his contacts in. And you can see in the video, he ran thinking that it was something moving. And you saw as he got closer, he goes, oh, my Lord, this is a child. And he ran away.
So that coyote's name is Mark?
That is Mark.
I see.
And actually, here's the other thing. He is not from that area. He's not from the Villa Park area.
Oh.
Technically, he is from Oakbrook Terrace.
Well, I was thinking if that coyote could hold a pen or maybe take out its smartphone, it could actually send an apology to the little girl's family.
That is happening actually in the process right now. Okay. We require all of the people that are part of our union to follow through with this with an apology. We feel just horrible for her.
So you're kind of a non-defamation society for coyotes.
Oh, it's exactly what we are. The EIEIO started back 12 years ago, and we have just helped. It's not only coyotes. We've helped German shepherds because they look like coyotes.
Fair point.
And the wolf, we also represent the wolf. There's only two wolves. Wolves. And they are in Lincoln Park Zoo, and they are not allowed out. So there's not a lot of representation involved with them.
Well, what about Blitzer?
Okay, we've been here in the winter time, and the weather is so cold.
That's a blizzard. Dave, do you have a question for the coyote?
Well, yeah, I just I wonder, Caleb, why these coyotes are attacking dogs. I mean, I'm a dog owner, and I worry about that.
First of all, let me ask you a question, and that's a great question, and I apologize.
Thank you.
Again, small vermin is small vermin. How big is your dog?
My dog's 21 pounds.
Yeah, that's 22 is a limit, so that dog should be put down, actually. I'll be honest with you.
All right, listen, we appreciate your help. Do you have a website? Is it EIEIO.com?
It is. It's actually .org.
Oh, .org.
Where is that office, Caleb? Just so we'll, you know.
I don't think he could reveal that at this point.
Good.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Well, if you're betting the kids milk money, a 24-point dog, 24.5, that's a ridiculous line. Northwestern, the underdog to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's number one defense in the country statistically in a couple of categories. Great defense. Offense is...
They're pretty good.
Statistically, so it's a big challenge.
It is
but
a big
24
challenge.
24 points?
Yeah, that's...
They're going to be whatever. Surprised when Northwestern
That doesn't
wins.
Really have any impact on the game.
Well, it certainly doesn't to Coach Fitz. He's got to coach it. Don't you, Coach? You got to coach these boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Good morning, by the way. How are you?
I am fine. Good morning to you. I know you don't pay attention to this stuff, but if somebody brings this up, that would just annoy the hell out of me. How could they be a 24-point dog?
Well, I appreciate you annoying the heck out of me. Thank you. I had no idea.
All right. Well, then let's pretend I didn't even say it. Dave Hennett says...
I usually do that with a lot of things you say, but that's okay. It's 7 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. Let's go.
Know, it's funny. Most of the audience has said the same thing at one point or another. Dave, you said the weather tomorrow looks promising?
Yeah, in Madison, I think,
I'm talking about?
Well, Coach Fitz may have a better handle on it because he's always got the Weather Channel on. But last I saw it, it's supposed to clear up. Supposed to be some rain today, but it's going to be in the 60s. Should be a nice day for football. And it's a great atmosphere up there always against the Badgers. And I have to tell you, this become just a great rivalry over the years. I don't know if people realize just how close it's been. Even before you were playing, going back the last 28 meetings, dead even, 14 aside. Why do you think it is that way? Why do you think this series has been so close?
Well, you know, I think both teams have played really well at home, and that's our challenge tomorrow. You know, the Badgers, play so well there. Their fans are unbelievable, and the atmosphere at Camp Randall's just a great place to play as a road team. And you've got to play well enough to take that crowd out of it, especially early. Last week, obviously, for Michigan, that did not happen, and that game got out of hand a little early, you know. So we just got to go up there and execute and get the thing started the right way and make it a four-quarter game. That's typically been our recipe for success, and, in two games this year, we haven't done that.
You have had success against Jonathan Taylor, the star running back who's been led the nation in rushing last year. He's a Heisman candidate again this year. What's the key to at least kind of slowing him down a little bit?
Well, we've been very fortunate. Number one, especially last year, we got a lead, so they had to throw the ball more, which obviously took the ball out of his hands. That would be outstanding to duplicate that tomorrow, where they've got to be more throwing than running the ball. But, he's a great player. And Dave, you and I have been in this league for a long time. There have been some amazing running backs, especially some very, very talented young men up in Madison. I would put him right up there, if not at the top, pretty darn close.
So you come off a tough week like this. Does it change the coaching? You spend more time watching film. How do you process that to get into this?
Yeah, no, I mean, you stay the course. We're going into, we're crossing the 50 last Saturday, down a score after not executing on the goal line, and we turn the ball over, which is going to happen. We can't have it happen in that situation. And then, our defense is so what we call put the fire out. The bell rings, the firemen answer the bell no matter what, and that's how we approach turnovers, and we didn't put the fire out. And I thought momentum shifted big time at halftime. And then our third quarter performance, especially offensively, led to what happened. So, I think you stay the course. You work hard to get the guys to execute fundamentally first. And then, now that we're 3 weeks in, you've got a pretty good idea of what guys can and cannot do. And you just try to play to our guys' strengths, especially, like I said, offensively, and just trust yourself and go play. So, we've got a lot of belief in our guys. They've got to have belief in themselves. They've got to execute in the moment. And, as always, football is a game of about five or six plays. And we've got to win those five or six plays to be consistent in Big Ten play.
The key perhaps establishing your run against them with Isaiah Bowser and Drake Anderson?
Yeah, that would be a big piece of the puzzle, Dave. But I think the most important, really, quite frankly, for the rest of the year is turnover ratio. Mm-hmm. You know, we're minus four in our two losses. Those two turnovers last week, it led to 14 points. It's a totally different game. And it's the same thing when we played out in Palo Alto. So, we've got to do a great job taking care of the ball. We did not do a good enough job taking the ball away last week on defense. It's been our calling card. It's been the secret sauce to our success, and our consistency over time has been taking care of the ball and taking it away. So, yeah, we got to run the ball. We got to pitch and catch. We got to block at the point of attack. We got to tackle. I mean, we got to play football. But, you know, the most important thing is we have got to win the turnover ratio. It doesn't guarantee a victory, but it gives you a really good chance.
Stand by for my prediction. But first, Dave, one last word.
You know, I have to ask you, and you're watching – and I don't know if you were watching the game last night, but you got a bunch of your former players who are playing for the Green Bay Packers, and you're a diehard Bears fan, as you've said many times. Any mixed feelings when you're watching Green Bay play these days? I saw Danny Vitale make some plays last night. Dean Lowry's become a mainstay on their D line.
Well, no, there's no mixed allegiances now. There's no doubt the Fitzgerald family are Bear fans. But I'm Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster and Danny Vitale fans first. And so when they're not playing the Bears, you better believe it. We're going crazy last night cheering for those guys. That's what makes you so proud as a coach. Identify these young men, 15, 16 years old, and to watch them grow and reach their potential. So proud of those guys. Ibrahim Campbell's up there with the Packers, too. So, listen, I hope they win every game, but the two they play the Bears, and the Bears end up winning the division. I think that's that would be awesome. really proud of those guys.
Dave, prediction on the game?
Oh, well, I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to tell Coach personally later when I see him.
What?
Yeah, we don't normally predict the game.
No, Coach doesn't normally predict the game.
Well, I got to call the game.
You don't have the guy who's calling the game to predict the game.
I have to recuse myself.
It goes against Dave's journalistic integrity.
Exactly.
Steve Cochran.
Could I just sum up how not fun you three are?
I'll call the game. I mean, I'll guess that. What do you want me to do?
What's your prediction?
What's happening?
Northwestern Wisconsin.
I know that. Okay. I know that you said I'm not supposed to use the number four anymore. So I'm going to say.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 20.
20?
22.
22?
22.
20 to 2. All right, 20 to 2.
Okay.
That's Northwestern winning?
No. 22 Northwestern.
Okay. Wisconsin?
13.
All right, I'm sending G to Madison to put down a thick layer of cheese curds in Wisconsin's own end zone,
nice.
Just to distract them.
I want one of those Bloody Marys that has like the shrimp, the cheese curds, like the sausage.
No, listen, what you drink is not part of the game.
Oh, okay.
However, this will be a low-scoring affair. And as a card-carrying member of what I like to call the Charlie Kubander era, 10-7 Northwestern.
Okay.
Yeah,
that works.
And Dave again will.
Man, I feel so much better now. I'm going to go get on the bus.
Yeah, go have fun, Mr. Fun. Get a win, Coach. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Go Cats.
Thanks. God, you guys just you got a party you're going to kill on a Friday night?
All of a sudden, last week, you asked for a predict. We've never predicted these games. It's been on with us for years.
Do you guys have any dip with chips? Don't bring the dip in. As a matter of fact, keep the chips. Yeah, it's some of the best texts on this text question of the day. Which is the dumbest thing I've done at work, the biggest mistake I made at work. Some of the best ones are you can't do them. We can't do them. So they'll be on the cable version of the show. Let's see. When teaching Catholic school in Iowa, I took my class over to the church. The church was dark. When looking for the light switch, I flipped the switch to turn on the church bells. We heard throughout the city, and we didn't realize it for like 5 minutes. My boss sent a crew to the wrong house to replace windows. They didn't find out until they replaced a couple of them. I may have typed the wrong address in the proposal.
Oh, man.
19 years ago, I was a new semi driver. I pulled into the rear of the Sam's Club in one of the outlying burbs. The driveway in the back was full of potholes. The entry was also lined and loaded with trailers, so it made it even more narrow. I went over a pothole. My trailer rocked over to the side of the loaded trailers, knocked it over on its side. The trailer was on the edge of another pothole. It basically had a huge domino effect. So just trying to do his job delivering, he knocked over a bunch of trucks. somebody bet me $5 at work, and I chugged a cup of solidified fryer grease.
How do you even chug something that's solidified, though? I'm very confused by that.
And then there's this biggest mistake I made at work. I married the boss. 312-981-7200 is the number. You know what it's time for now. Do you know what it's time for now? I know what it's time for now.
Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Always a treat to have our MVPP live in studio, as we do this morning. Elaine Church?
Elaine Church.
And you're part of the, you and your husband Tom, of three great kids, decided that swimming was your passion, and what you didn't know is that you needed to heart screen your three healthy athletes. So talk about that.
Yes, my kids were all competitive swimmers, still are, and I didn't know that I should heart screen my three healthy kids. I took them to their all their sports physicals, their yearly physicals, but I didn't know getting them an EKG would be important.
What is unknown cardiac, I don't even know how you pronounce the word.
My middle son, Josh, died November 16th. He was 17. He died at swim practice at Vernon Hills. He swam for Warren High School and for Cats Aquatics, and he suddenly passed away at practice, and they called it an unknown cardiac arrhythmia, meaning, in layman's terms, they have no idea why Josh died, but they know it was an electrical issue, and an EKG could have saved his life.
I'm so sorry for that and your loss. That's obviously awful, but the amount of lives you're saving now by highlighting this is amazing.
It is amazing. We were just at a high school yesterday and saved 20 kids, and since Josh has died, we've saved over 200 kids in Lake County. So it's an amazing program and something really necessary.
Before high school kids have to join a team, do they have to have a physical?
They do. They have to have a sports physical, but a sports physical can be done in 10 minutes, even at Walgreens.
And it doesn't include an EKG,
no,
I'm assuming.
No, there's not a student's physical of any kind that includes an EKG, and this is what we're fighting for. We're fighting that this should be part of a kid's physical, because right now, the only way we're checking a child's heart is through a stethoscope, and that's a 200-year-old
method.
Mm-hmm. And
that's not going to give you information on an arrhythmia.
No, because if you're sitting next to a lamp, can you hear the electricity?
No, of course not.
But yeah, you know, so you, a stethoscope, you can't.
I'm assuming that's super confusing too, because as a parent, if your child is physically fit and active and they're doing really well at a sport, you just assume that they're healthy.
Well, you also don't think of a 17-year-old of having a heart problem.
Yeah, but especially one that's active and fit.
Thousands of kids are dying a year. Sudden cardiac death is the number one leading killer of student athletes and with kids on school campuses.
So what do we know about unknown cardiac arrhythmia? Is it like a blanket term for various arrhythmias with our?
Yes, there's a lot of different electrical issues that can be going on with a student's heart, and WPW, long QT. They just can't put a name to Joshua's. That's why they call it an unknown cardiac arrhythmia. They know it was electrical because when they did, you know, a couple autopsies and genetic testing, they found nothing wrong with him.
It's got to be terribly frustrating. At the same time, it's an incredible legacy that you have going here for your son. What is the Max Schweitz Foundation?
The Max Schweitz Foundation.
I'm sorry, Schweitz.
Is the foundation that was started at Lake Forest. Max Schweitz was a Lake Forest student that also died of an unknown heart condition.
So this is how you help pay for these tests?
Yes. Our foundation comes into the high school, and it's beautiful. It doesn't cost the high school anything. It just costs parents $15 to screen.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And when my son was playing high school football, they came in to his school, and it was, I can't tell you how reassuring it was, even though, as far as we knew, he was healthy and he was fine, and and he was okay with the exam. But just to have it done and to know for sure that, that he was all right was very reassuring.
Yes, and it's important to screen these athletes, but Max Schweitz, he wasn't an athlete. So it's happening to kids that are athletes and not. We hear more about the athletes because they die tragic deaths in their sport, and so it hits the news. But Thousands of kids are dying every year, and we can prevent this.
Do we know that the incidence of arrhythmias is greater now or than it was in the past, or those statistics aren't really kept?
They're just not kept, and now we're tracking it more because of we live in 2019. Sure.
And for the students, are there any symptoms? Do they have any?
Some kids have symptoms, some don't. My son did not have any symptoms. He was healthy. We didn't have any. But a lot of times kids, they think normal is normal, and it's really a symptom. They don't realize that, you mean when my heart races extra?
That's a good point.
That's not normal, right. You know? That happens all the time. Well, then they find out that is actually a symptom.
So. God bless you. It's amazing what you're doing. Thank you. And the Max Chavitz Foundation, can folks donate directly?
We can, and we're having a huge fundraiser November 17th in Gurnee at the Chocolate Sanctuary to profit, because we are in great need of a second echocardiogram machine. Ours is getting very old, and we need to raise $30,000, and so we're looking for help.
We can get that done.
Yes,
this can happen.
You're amazing.
Unbelievable. Our website is heartsmartekg.org, and we would love donations or anybody who would love to donate to the foundation and the event coming up. We're looking for silent auction and all kinds of good stuff.
Good. Lots of ways you can help then.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate you coming over.
Thank you.
And let us know whenever you need a big mouth for this.
Thank you. Very much so.
Great. Thanks. There's your MVPP. And again, it's heartsmartekg.org. All of this sponsored by MegaPros, and we're coming back with your headlines next.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Well, what Bears team's going to show up this weekend? We need the one that's good. Bears and the Vikings trying to catch Detroit?
How about that?
That makes no sense. Oh, it's sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning, Hall of Famer.
Well, good morning, and you're exactly right. The old caption of make no small plans. Who saw this coming, right? We got the Vikings coming in, believing they have a good football team. The Packers was leading until we saw what happened last night, and now Detroit. Who would have thunk it, right?
No one.
Well, they got the Chiefs on Sunday, so that their unbeaten record could change a little bit this week.
Well, and you know what? At some point, they're basically saying, hey, till somebody beats us, okay?
Yep.
First time top of the division in forever. So, hey, all we care about is what are we going to do? Are we going to show up and play smart, aggressive football? We saw two teams last night that were very impressive, throwing the ball where? Down the field. And when that happens, guess what? Your running backs start looking good, and you can say what you want, but Jordan Howard and Noshon, they had wonderful nights because both quarterbacks were aggressive and daring. That's a good thing.
Sounds ridiculous, but is this a must-win early? I mean,
Think about this. You know, Mike Zimmer, I think he's originally from the western suburbs. Good guy, smart coach. He likes this team, and you can tell when he was talking about the matchup against the Bears, he was saying, you know, somebody said, you got to go into Soldier Field. It's really tough. And he goes, last time I checked, they lost the last two games they played there. Now, nobody wants to, you know, kind of put the cheese on the cracker, but he's right. You know, the Bears, for all the hoopla, for all the, the big talk about, we're ready for a Super Bowl, Super Bowl run, and they still haven't played well. The defense has been good. Not great, good. You can't let a ragtag team like the Redskins get back in the game. If you're a great defense and, you know, an offense, you score 3-4 drives out of the 12, you're a great offense. Defense, you got to do it every drive, and we still haven't seen that. Now, we may, see, Akeem Hicks play, but if he doesn't, it doesn't change the fact we still have to tackle Dalvin Cook, the leading rusher in the NFL. So, you know, we still haven't played our game yet. Maybe this is the week, and it should be, because there's no reason why. You know, we talk about they didn't play in the preseason. Well, guess what, Mr. Cat? Last time I checked, this is game 4.
That's
it's
right.
Time to go.
That's right. So the biggest takeaway I still think from the game Monday night was the takeaways by the Bears defense. I mean, I think that was their identity last year, Hamp, and it kind of had been for a while, taking the ball away. And you would think that being at home, this would be that kind of a game where they can force Kirk Cousins into some turnovers, some interceptions, turn Khalil Mack loose, even though they might not have Akeem Hicks, we don't know. And this could be a big day for the Bears defense if, in fact, they can come up with some more turnovers.
Absolutely. Let's be real. You know, Khalil Mack, they didn't block him. They had a couple of tight ends. You know, think about it. And he forced a couple of errors and a sack and a strip. And the next thing you know, Case Keenum was throwing it up. And that's good. You know, everybody goes, oh, you know, great defensive backs are the key to interceptions. That's only half of it. The first half is you put pressure on quarterbacks to make bad throws and bad decisions. That's what the front was able to do early, and it enabled us to get a good, comfortable lead. That would be great again. And let's go back last year, and I'll be honest with you, the Bears did a lot of good things last year, but maybe the most impressive thing they did all year to me was in week 17 in a game that didn't matter. When it mattered the world to the Vikings, they go up to Minnesota, and they put a beating on them. And I mean a beating, top to bottom. And I was that maybe never more impressed than I was in that game. And that can be duplicated if the offensive and defensive line carry that same attitude into this contest.
John DeCosta is here. John, question for the Hall of Famer.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Quick question. So football players' routine, the Bears have not been in a routine. I mean, it was Thursday night, it was Sunday afternoon, it was Monday night. Does that affect them at all? Would that affect you at all because it's not a routine?
No. I think it probably affects the fans more than anything. And you know what it really affects is OB. She hates all these games and the Monday night. We love the noon slot where we get to come on at 3 o'clock and cut bait. And at some point, you know, they're going to get back on I think next week the Raiders is a noon game. But, you know, it will affect you if you let it. But the guys I played with, John, come on. We'd play it at the drop of a hat in a parking lot. We didn't care. I don't think there's a lot of difference with this defense. They want to play. Here's the other part. If you see, you know, and everybody is, you know, and in a way, you're even if you're 30 years old, you're like a little kid if you're playing this game, and you see, you know, Jordan Howard look great. You see Alshon have a nice night. You see Aaron Rodgers putting the dime on the receivers all night long. Our team has to be, like, chomping at the bit to play this week because they know they haven't played their game. They know that they're in a way lucky to be 2-1. So I really look for good things this week.
The quarterbacks get paid a lot of money, Dave, because they're the focus. Trubisky needs to show up and be the guy we expect him to be. Another choppy performance, and I'm going to have to go over and slap him. And I don't want to see it come to that.
I don't want to see it come to that either. Although his coach got in his face the other night.
That's good. And guys, let me just tell you this. You know, there's a certain so-called personality on your station there, our station, who was questioning the fact that we were, in a way, disdaining the performance of certain aspects of the team. And our point is, if you just want to beat the Redskins, the 30th best team in football, then that's one criteria. But our criteria is you want to be a champion. You want to be great.
Right.
Well, guess what? Wednesday night, I brought my lovely bride and my son to meet Lou Holtz, where I inducted him into the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame.
All right, cool.
Wonderful event. But you know what? When everything got quiet and we were eating dinner, Lou Holtz turned to me and said, "You think Trubisky could lead the Bears to a Super Bowl?" And I said, not the way he's playing right now. And Lou Holtz, who had been in coaching for 50 years and has seen the greats and, you know, and the suspects, he basically said, I don't know. I don't think so either. So the point is, it's not just me. It's not just OB. It's not just certain critics, the people that know the game. We know this kid, yeah, he's got a certain amount of talent. But we all know talent, you know, is like potential. It's a French word that means not worth a damn yet, right? Well, he's time he puts the cheese on the cracker. This is the game. The Vikings, they're not that great. Come on, let's be real. They're not that great. It's not like you're going against the Steel Curtain or something.
Right.
This is the game. We need to see him play great, not just one quarter or two, all four quarters. And if he does, this team will take off, and we'll have the team we expected.
Yep, and I'll leave you with this. Trubisky needs to prove all of us wrong who are questioning him. It should piss him off that he's being questioned, and he should step up.
Yes, exactly. And again, this is not, you know, a condemnation that we like. We are basically being, who was it? Jeremiah, that was the weeping prophet. He told people what they didn't want to hear, right? Well, we're kind of like Jeremiah saying, hey, for us to be a good team, a great team, this kid's got to, he's got to wake up, start being aggressive, throwing the ball. Don't be thinking so much. Let's go.
Yeah, less thinking, more playing. John, prediction for Sunday.
Oh, Bears are going to win.
Got a score?
Yeah, it's going to be 28 for the Bears and only 13 for the Vikings.
All right, Dave. Good.
No, you know I don't make predictions. No, I'm going to go Bears 24, Vikings 17.
I got 24-21, and Eddie Pinata one more time is going to step up with his half leg and get it done late. Do you have a prediction?
Yes, I'm going with 26-22.
The Bears will win.
I'm all about the plant leg.
About 22.
She almost hurt herself making that prediction. Hamp!
The gimpy kicker comes through with three field goals, 16-10. Bears win.
Ooh, defensive struggle.
Wow, that's the Hall of Famer. Thank you, buddy.
Go Bears!
Brought to you by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
And we'll never be royal.
It's a 8:10 now. Dumbest thing you did at work is text question of the day. Steve, you got yours?
The dumbest thing I did at work.
Sounds like you need time to think. Mary Vandeveld.
At this work? Can it be any work?
Any work.
I guess when I was young in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, I got up there and I had to learn a lot of Native American names of places, and I kept getting them mixed up. Like lakes and Namakagan and Nabagamon and Shawamigan. And I got in trouble because I said someone died in Lake Namakagan, but they didn't die in there. They died in Nabagamon. So it was really, really confusing.
Yeah, and honestly,
I got a lot of phone calls. They go, this girl from Chicago doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah, and all of the fine Indian tribes, I'm sure they were quite pleased with your handle.
Not happy. I had to take a quick lesson, and it was bad.
Well, it sounds like you're much better now.
Yes, I understand them now, and they still allow me in the state.
Dave?
Okay, so I was a young news writer at another station in town, and I would write the morning newscasts. And I would go out and cover sports at night and then show up at 4 in the morning and write this was the 5:30 a.m. news. So I'm sitting at, we had the thing called typewriters back then.
Yeah, I remember typewriters.
And I'm sitting at the typewriter working on the 5:30 a.m. newscast when all of a sudden the desk editor is yelling at me, Dave, I need the newscast. Well, that woke me out of a sound sleep. I had fallen asleep at the typewriter writing the news, and it was 5:30, and they needed the newscast.
Coming off another bender?
Not at all. Not at all. I was working in the evening, covering sports.
Texter says, I was 18, working at a retail store. I was sending out a mass email. Old school, right? Well, I don't know that much about postage when I'm 18. I put 1,000 stamps on the wrong side of the letters. So they go on the front side, not the flap side.
Kids today don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Don't know how to put a stamp on an envelope.
Coworker and me did donuts in the owner's wife's Jaguar in the parking lot next to the office building. could have walked out at any time, but we never got caught. Yeah, that's not smart. 563, I was running late, went into the fridge, grabbed some Diet Pepsi, shoved it in a bag. Turns out what I grabbed was Pabst Blue Ribbon. Oh, good cover. Like that was really a mistake.
I got a company car towed once.
Oh.
I parked illegally.
Covering a news story.
Again, I was at another place covering a news story and parked a car where I shouldn't have parked it. It was an unmarked car because we had cars that had, you know, signage on it that had the call letters on it. And before anybody could find out about it, I went and bailed the car out with my own money.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's terrible.
I was young and new. I didn't want to get...
And you were probably making like $12,000 a year.
It was I remember it was... Even back then, it was more than $100 for the fine and everything. So.
Oh, my God.
But they're always so friendly. I mean, at the impound lot, they're always so friendly.
Yeah, there was a ticket attached to it, so I'm sure the company found out about it, you know, even though I paid for all of it.
630, I used to pump gas at a boat dock for a summer high school job. I accidentally filled someone's water tank with 13 gallons of gas. Easy mistake. The holes look similar. Siphoning that out for the next few hours was punishment enough.
Oh, wow.
269, one time many years ago, I was filling the company truck with gas. It was raining, so I put the gas spigot in the side of the truck, went inside to pay. Afterwards, I ran out and drove off. When I got back to the office, I noticed I didn't have my gas cap, so I called the station to ask them if they saved the gas cap, as I forgot. They said, that's not all you forgot. I drove off with a hose still in the truck, starting a small but significant fire at the gas station.
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
6-3, I was in real estate showing a friend of mine's house. I accidentally looked up the wrong address. I looked up the central lockbox code on the app because I assumed the listing gave me the wrong one. The agent notes said, please don't let the cat out. I didn't see that part. No word on how the cat's doing as the text got cut off. And later on, I'll tell you mine. Okay. It involved accidentally saying the F word on the air about 14 times.
Ooh,
while the owner of the tiny radio station was listening and his minister.
Did you get fired?
I did not get fired. You think about all the times I've been fired. I should have been fired for that.
Yeah.
So, no cursing scheduled here. At 8:15, let's go to the phone because it's a melancholy time at Channel 9 as the great Bob Vorwald joins us. Bob's been at Channel 9 since 1841.
That's right.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Tonight is, it's a special night, kind of a sad night, but it's also a night to recognize what a great accomplishment Cubs baseball has been on Channel 9 all these years.
Yeah, it's our last game after 72 seasons. Quite a run, nothing like it.
So the special you put together, can it be seen on demand?
we didn't spend a lot of time on the special because we were counting on the fact that the Cubs were going to be in the playoff race 2 weeks ago. My biggest concern was that they would have clinched and we would have to fill the game with too many highlights. So. I don't know that they understand that you can't get the number one draft pick now. So, but we put some money in the video jukebox, and there'll be some good stuff on tonight.
Oh, what time is the show?
Well, there is no show per se. It is the game itself, and it's 7 o'clock from St. Louis. And Len and JD means something to the Cardinals, but you know we want to recognize our last game and. Let people hear Jack and Harry again. So we've got a lot of the great moments
over the
last 72 years that will go on as well.
All right. Well, that's fine. I happen to know that nobody's harder as a critic on you than you, and I'm sure it's fabulous what you put together.
A lot of it will just have to be woven in and out, and you don't want to be part of a wake. You want to be part of a celebration. You want to show the gratitude to the great viewers that we have. I mean, this is an unparalleled relationship. And let people live in the moment one more time and remember all those great moments with the Cubs on Channel 9.
Dave?
And I thought, Bob, that you guys handled the last telecast from Wrigley Field last Saturday just perfectly. I just thought it just set absolutely the right tone. Unfortunately, even though it was a crazy game, it didn't end very well for the Cubs. But a lot of the names that figure in the history of WGN-TV were also heard on these airwaves, on WGN Radio. People like Jack Brickhouse, even though he didn't do the Cubs on WGN Radio. But Vince and Lou and of course, Harry, and you can go on and on with the guys who were part of it, Jack Quinlan. But I just wonder if there's one iconic moment for you in the history of the Cubs on WGN TV, because I would think if you asked most Cubs fans, they would say it was Ernie Banks 500.
Yeah.
Because that's the call.
First thing I thought of when you said that.
With the hey flashing on the screen.
Yep.
What do you think?
I would totally agree, because that was a very anticipated moment. He had 497 going into the 1970 season. So many people saw it live, but then it got replayed over and over and over, every rain delay, everything else. And he was the Cubs icon, and it was such a happy moment. I think everybody, that's the first one that comes to mind. And then of later vintage, it'd be Kerry Wood, because it was maybe the greatest individual performance in the history of the game.
And at some point, you will release a video. Ron Santo jumps and clicks his heels. We just got shots of that over and over again, right? That's coming out?
Oh, yeah. You got to show that tonight. You know, so again, 1969, the summer of 69, and a guy who Cub fans love, who we all love, and it just nothing shows the joy of being a Cub fan any more than Ronnie jumping.
It's 8:19. It's Bob Vorwald, Channel 9. Watch it tonight. It's crazy to think the Cubs aren't going to be on Channel 9 anymore, but, you know, things change. In the meantime, tons and tons of great memories, and Bob's been a part of a great chunk of that. I had no idea he was so good on mic until last week. He's always bringing chuckleheads like you and me over to do work, when, in fact, he could do it all himself.
Very good.
He was great in the seventh inning stretch.
Yep.
He didn't even mention how poorly you sang.
I don't think I sang poorly at all.
I'm sorry. I must have gotten that wrong note.
Thank you.
Anyway, Bobby, great job.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. And, again, thanks to all our great fans. This has been an incredible run. We couldn't do it with all the great viewers that we've had. And we just want to say thanks. And hopefully everybody can enjoy some of the highlights tonight.
Yep, absolutely. There you go. It's a great Bob Vorwald. They should do a special.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. You think of the moments. I hadn't even thought of the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game, which I was at, and in the WGN radio booth that day. But there were so many. And, you know, the other thing, Steve, is I think people look back on the Sandberg game in 1984. Yep. They forget that was not on WGN TV, that NBC had as the game of the week.
Because Costas.
But you always hear Harry Carey's call, and Harry was on WGN radio.
Oh, so they took radio to match the video.
And they matched Harry's call to the video.
Tonight, Channel 9, final Cubs game.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, mama, don't play now, baby.
Portions.
On 720 WGN.
Portions of today's program sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, including that desktop weather station that we give away, which is actually a tiny clone of Tom Skilling, who will live at your house. So that's kind of cool. Hey, little Katie's on the phone. World's smartest second grader. Hi, little Katie. Happy Friday to you.
Oh, it's happy Friday to you. We made it another week on the work pile.
You're second grade. You can't be working the pile. Have you had a hard week?
No, silly, but we did learn how to tell time and what nouns and verbs are and all about odd numbers. Do you know all that stuff, Mr. Cochran?
I do. I know that stuff. Stop looking at me like that, Dave. I know that stuff, Dave.
Week? Oh, I know you know it.
I'm sorry, Katie. What'd you ask me?
Did you have a hard week, Mr. Cochran?
Well, you know what? Thanks for asking, little Katie. Yes, this week's been a challenge.
You're funny, Mr. Cochran. How challenging is working a 4 hours a day, buddy?
Well, look, I got nothing.
Do you like your job, Mr. Cochran?
Well, yes, very much, little Katie. Do you like listening to the show on the way to school with your daddy?
I sure do.
Good.
But I don't really understand some of the stuff sometimes when you're talking, and my daddy just stares at the radio, and he says stuff like dipstick. Or sometimes he says bonehead. What does that mean, Mr. Cochran?
Well, it just means your daddy likes me and he doesn't know how to express it.
Okay, well, that's cool, because I really like my teacher. So when I see her today, I'm going to call her a dipstick.
No, I don't. I think
you should. If I call her a dipstick and a bonehead, then that means I double like her.
Okay. But I really think you ought to talk to your daddy before you do that, if you would, Katie.
Okay. Well, I have to go now because I had to go to school. But because the public demands it, here's my cold stone lock of the week.
All right. Stand by now. This is Katie's cold stone lock of the week. I assume it's the Bears game?
Yep.
What's the score?
Bears 26, Vikings 24.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yep.
All right, look, Katie, have a great day.
Have a nice day.
Okay. Bye-bye. World's smartest second grader right there.
She's such a dipstick.
Yeah. Yeah, but a cute little dipstick, don't you think?
Cute little dipstick.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 8:38, 1 week from today. The Blackhawks open the season in Prague with the Philadelphia Flyers. I will be there and taking a bunch of listeners along, and it's going to be fun. Now, the game itself is at, I think, 8 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock local time in Prague. And when you subtract, you know, the difference, the time zone difference, I think it's May 4th here. It's actually no, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I don't know. I'll ask Dave when he comes back in. But anyway, it's going to be a little weird because it'll be a Friday afternoon Hawks game. And then the home opener is the following week, 1 week from... is it 1 week or 2 weeks? It used to be 2 weeks from last night. Yeah. Is anyone confused as I am?
No.
I'm supposed to know what's going on. It is always an honor to say my friend General John Borling is live in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Steve.
Nice to see you. I know you want me to jump right to our new friend and your good friend and my new best friend and the guest, but... I insist that you talk about the foundation, your foundation, what you work so hard on, that I'm happily
SOS America you're with. Talking about.
No, I was talking about, yeah, that's exactly right.
Exactly right. Service over self, America. It plays into what we're doing today. Good to see you again. We've had a lot of trail dust on us. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to offer some fighter pilot tactics this morning to kick this off. Is that all right? I mean, we've never done that before.
You just can't help being a general. You're going to tell me what to do.
It's all about situation awareness.
Okay,
we call
good.
It SA.
Good. Yeah, I'm not good at that.
So you're in force. Imagine out there, us the listening audience, over in the many states. We're in formation, but we're in a detached formation. I'm in one airplane. You're in another. We're about 6,000 feet apart.
Yeah.
Almost a mile apart, but we are in a position that we call mutual support.
Okay.
You can bring firepower to bear one with another, and you can also provide defensive cover.
The fact that you're trusting me with an airplane it makes me question your judgment.
I have a wingman today, or maybe I'm the wingman, but on my right, and from Fort Ticonderoga, New York, is Beth Hill, a new best friend, as you mentioned it. She's a CEO of a place that, if it hadn't held in the Revolution, we probably wouldn't be sitting up here on the 18th floor overlooking...
in a place that I told you last time you were in, we talked about Beth coming in, a place that I visited many times as a kid.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And Fort Ticonderoga.
Yeah, and we are meeting with the Pritzker Military Museum and Library, among other people,
good.
To work this concept of mutual support. The military, as we've discussed on this show many times, is viewed as a force for good. It's the most respected institution. So why don't we tie together in a kind of a mutual support arrangement those institutions that are given to the support of the citizen soldier and the military for the betterment overall of the country.
And if you don't respect your past celebrate the victories of your past, how do you move forward in the future?
You know, that's why you're on my board.
Because of important statements like that.
No, because of your hair.
That's right. I say at the meeting.
Well, but I did bring along this class act on my right, sitting next to G here, Beth Hill, and I should be quiet now and characteristically.
I'm just following your orders. Fort Ticonderoga's president and CEO since 2010. I know you have had a long career in the museum field specifically, but I'm excited about Fort Ticonderoga because they said it was a place we went to as a kid as a field trip in school, and my parents, we didn't do a lot of vacations, but my parents would road trip there.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm so happy to be here this morning with you to talk about Ticonderoga and our new partnerships.
So do this for me. Fill in a little more what the general talked about the historical significance of the fort.
Ticonderoga is such a place of conflict that really defined North America's history, going back to 1609 and the first conflict between the French and the Iroquois, and forever changed the European relations with the First Nations. And then moving forward, the French built the fort, the front line of New France, in this place of empires colliding, armies moving across.
State of the art at the time, yes?
State of the art. And the bloodiest place, or the bloodiest conflict in North America in 1758, all the way until the American Civil War at the Battle of Carrion. The British capture the fort. They hold the Ticonderoga as a strategic location. And on May 10, 1775, the Americans capture Ticonderoga, the first victory of the American Revolution, and hold the line in 1776, which really determined whether or not our revolution succeeded.
How about that?
This is really cool.
This stuff ought to give you goosebumps.
I know. So I want to tie this in locally as well, and you're here in Chicago because you're going to create this partnership with the Pritzker Museum.
It's an idea. It's a concept. In fact, we've kind of let the cat out of the bag.
Oh.
But, you know, I've had a long association.
But I like the clothes. I like going for the clothes right now. The meeting's later. We're going for the clothes right now because we're announcing the partnership.
Let's think of it a consortium of common interests, okay, where we're advancing this notion that, again, the military is a valuable institution. So let's take those, the World War II Museum, the World War I Museum, SOS America for the future. I talked to the head of Selective Service, Don Benton, and they're all in the National Commission on Service. Everybody thinks that this can be an annealing force and offer opportunity for further shared experience and common values and maybe even hopefully civil discourse.
You mean where we talk to each other and listen? That would be crazy.
You think respect and regard are kind of passe. I still kind of count on it, like you do.
Go ahead, Beth.
And John, so to add to that, you know, these institutions, Ticonderoga is a place of incredible historical significance, but also as an institution, as a museum, as an educational resource for the nation, and really as a foundational institution highlighting the story of the sacrifices and struggles that gave us the liberty that we enjoy today. These shared values that we have with these other institutions, and highlighting the importance of historical literacy, critical thinking, and engaged citizenry.
Sure.
And so this is a wonderful opportunity to expand across the nation, highlight different anchors in our story, and engage American citizens, our nation, in this discourse, and provoke an active discussion to inform today and into the future.
She thought this is why she's a CEO. You can tell that.
Right.
But she's out hunting big game. She's on a capital campaign that I'm trying to push along a little bit, too. She's got a world-class collection of stuff from the pre-revolutionary and Revolutionary War stuff at Fort.
And we're going to start giving that away to the seventh caller right now.
Yeah, right. And she's off on an acquisition of a, we can't talk to it any specific, but a private collection that will then vault for Ticonderoga, not only the world class, world's best.
And that's exciting.
It's something. It's more than a once in a lifetime opportunity.
It's the numbers get big in a hurry. But
I think kids in particular, but people might forget. They go, well, why are all these forts on the East Coast? It's because when we were attacked at that point, we didn't know there was anything but the East Coast. Nobody was driving west. There were the 13 original colonies, the forts that protected those particular colonies. But it's not like we don't have great military museums around the country that all ought to be partnering, right?
Well, it is true. To speak to our collections, though, our museum was founded in 1909 by Stephen and Sarah Pell, and they collected all over the world the finest objects. And there were, you know, these other museums weren't yet established. So it was the earliest restoration of its kind in America with the Fort Reconstruction, the establishment of our museum. So our current collection really highlights this period of the long 18th century as military historians call it. And so, for example, we have the earliest known American-made military uniform that exists today. We have the largest collection of artillery in the Western Hemisphere.
Not just a couple of cannonballs.
No, we have a few of those, too.
Yeah, a few of those.
So as an institution, we have these incredible assets to really highlight the material culture, the objects of the past, and tell those stories, which is foundational for all of our educational initiatives from K through 12 through university and lifelong learning.
Where's your love of history come from?
I'm not making this up. Fort Ticonderoga. It was the first place I ever visited as a child that I remembered. Right? And I remember so distinctly
shared experience,
there,
Beth.
So distinctly standing there and feeling the power of the place. It was almost frightening, like time suspended. And I was in that moment that was so powerful. And I had no idea, obviously, at 4 years old, I would go on to live all over the country and world and be recruited to lead this incredible institution today.
Well, it's a great honor.
It is an honor.
You know, when you stand at Fort Ticonderoga, if you, you know, maybe if you're a little older, I suppose, to have this perspective, you don't when you're a kid so much, but it sounds like you were exceptional in that regard. But standing on the walls and trying to get a sense of the fear that must have been felt, but the fight that went on. I mean, this is hand-to-hand combat, kids, and the great courage that was shown there.
Absolutely. And, you know, Ticonderoga is so beautiful. It's such an evocative place with the mountains surrounding it and the lakes and the pristine landscape. And so for people who come to visit us, and I hope everybody listening will come visit us someday, it is suspended in time because of the natural beauty, but also the fear. You know, you think about the armies coming up those waterways and what was hidden in that wilderness and the sacrifice and struggles of those who went before us to give us what we have today. And it's a landscape, a place that can really take us to that moment and give us such a deep appreciation.
That was a couple of years, General, before you could call for a backup airstrike.
Well, you know, I used to fly airplanes over the Adirondacks. There's a range up there, and the beauty that Beth talks about.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Lake George and Lake Champlain, and 122 miles of Lake Champlain and about 40 miles, 45 miles of Lake George.
And everybody heads there now for the leaves of the fall.
Well, and Myrna and I will be in Maine. In fact, we're going on another trip, business pleasure trip, POW reunion, actually, in Maine starting Monday. But
do you even know where your house is? You traveled nonstop.
Driven. By purpose, just like you guys here.
And with
a leader / wingman like Beth Hill, very fortunate, and going to help her, you know, get that big game we were talking about just for Fort Ticonderoga, and a great, great board. Good to tell the story here in the Midwest, Steve.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt. I have no doubt you're going to be able to get it done. I love the fact that you announced it before the meeting. That was a great thing. The solid thing as well.
We'll hope that the doors are open when we get there.
They better be. And Beth, for anybody that wants to plan a trip maybe for next year, if they don't have time to go before the weather gets dicey, because that's a part of the world where the winters are a bit tough. But there's nothing like spring there and summer as well and all that. Anyway, what do they do? Go to the website?
Yeah, absolutely. FortTiconderoga.org. We have all of the information, and we do programs year-round. It's just so epic in the winter as well. We welcome visitors, but it is beautiful. We have boat tours on Lake Champlain to highlight the importance of that waterway going through the heart of North America, at least at that time.
Yeah.
And all of our programs. So FortTiconderoga.org. Check us out. Come see me. It's a beautiful, incredible place, and we are on a mission to engage our nation in understanding our past and appreciating it and defining how we move forward as a people.
Congratulations on the success and the continued success, and good choice on your wingman here. This kid's going to be something someday.
I'm honored to be with him.
I have modest expectations for me, but for her, I think the sky's the limit. Remember, it's mutual support and situation awareness.
All right, sir.
Thanks a lot,
I'm going to land this plane before you take it away from me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We continue on 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show. Texters, what's the dumbest thing you did at work? 773, I treated my supervisor to lunch and she eventually fell in love with me. I don't understand that one. So
how is that the dumbest thing? Like he or she didn't want the supervisor to
Glenn,
fall in love?
I don't know if Glenn, that was a relationship went bad. I'm not sure what happened there.
Maybe are they still married? I mean, you do have to be super cautious when you're dating, you know, dating at work. It's always, they say, don't.
Company inkwell? Pen?
It can get complicated.
Quill pen.
You don't want to mess with your, you know, where you're making your money.
You know the old saying, Dave, don't put the ink toner in the wrong machine, you know,
right.
That old saying.
I remember that,
you know,
that old saying. Yeah,
don't fiddle around with the people from HR. You know that old saying.
Yeah, I remember that one too.
I met my husband at work,
and here you are still together.
Yeah, we were at the same radio station.
What about that? 708. Dumbest thing I ever did was fill out the application. some of them, you know, sort of bitter people. Go ahead.
I used to work the overnight desk at a local news station, so I would come in at 2 a.m. in the morning. This is like very early on when I first moved here back in 2006, and I would have to start at 2 a.m., but everybody would be out, so what I would do is I would go out with my girlfriends, and then we would close the bar down at 2, and then I would go in at 2.
So you didn't sleep, is the
message? I would not sleep, right.
And at what point did you collapse?
I would get through the shift. I can't do that anymore, but I could do that back, 2006 era.
I'm 75, says 773. My biggest mistake at work was when I was a teen. I worked at Jewel. My 60-year-old boss often would look at me in a weird way and say, "If you don't like my peaches, don't shake my tree." Marlene says, "I should have slapped him in the face, but I didn't know any better back then." 224, my former brother-in-law worked at a gas station with a car wash. A Corvette came in for a wash. He pulled it in so it was connected to the belt that would pull the car through in the wash, the old-school car wash. But he forgot to open the door on the other side, so the belt pulled the car right into the door and through it. You don't want that. Then you got to explain to the guy why his Corvette is now shorter. Because it's all smashed up.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a lot of gas station stories.
There is, right?
Yeah.
773, my boss called me up and asked if I had put a spell on his subcontractor's foreman. The subcontractor was also threatening to call the police. He didn't. The subcontractor ended up apologizing to me. Isn't that a weird thing for your boss to bring to you? Hey, did you put a spell on my friend?
Like a witchy spell?
Sounds like it, right?
Or like she was so scintillating that they, you know what I'm saying? Sounds like
that.
A lot of romance type situations.
About that. Yeah, okay. Let's see. I sold space advertising for a college newspaper. Turns out 100 plus businesses bought half and quarter space advertising. The editor yelled at me, "Stop selling advertising. I have no copy for a 48-page college newspaper first issue. Get out photographers immediately. Get this paper on the street." In other words, don't be so good at your job. Right? Isn't that to read there?
I guess so.
Yeah. And 312, in the early 90s, I was an intern at a Dayton TV station. We went to a Reds game in Cincinnati to shoot promos and parked the van illegally. We got busted. We said we had to park in the garage. The intern was sent to park the van. Can you see where this is going?
Uh-oh.
I drove into the garage, forgetting there was a platform on top of the van for camera shots. Sliced the whole thing off.
Oh, no.
There's your covered garage. 312-981-7200. Nothing to do with Trump. Nothing to do with Trump at all. Dumbest thing you ever did at work.
I don't know if these were exaggerations, but I remember a couple of the photographers, even though they're videographers with a camera, we call them photogs, would tell me back when we were working news that there was a guy that drove under a lower the overpass, like the bridge, only a certain amount of clearance, and it was one of those live trucks, and it completely blew out off the top of the satellite of the truck, which those trucks are really expensive.
This is going to have to go on your permanent record.
In the traffic biz, we call that a truckie stucky under the viaducky.
Truckie stucky in the viaducky.
I like that, Mary. Now that is a saying.
Yep.
That's why people say you're the professional on the show.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All of what you're listening to is being played by Dave in it. Or as I like to call him, Percussion Dave.
That's me.
Laying down a funky beat.
I love this music and Casera. It's amazing.
Not Casera, it's Dave Edit. Casera's the conductor. It's 9:12 in the morning, and if you're wondering if the president's been impeached yet, no, let's not hurry. Let's give this thing a fair airing. And let's go from there. I only have one piece of advice for Donald Trump. Shut up. Because every time he talks, he makes his situation worse. And a small request as well, and I think I speak for most Americans on this, we'd like the President of the United States not to threaten those who speak out against him physically with violence, as he did yesterday with some bad Sopranos impression. In the meantime, he deserves the fair hearing that the Democrats, in some ways, sound like they don't want to give him. So let's all take a breath, take a step back. The best thing for everybody is let's get to the bottom of what we know happened, not what we think happened. But for those of you not familiar with the story, The simple message is this. You cannot shake down another government for the sake of your campaign to run for president. Not in 2016, not in 2020. At 9:13, look, it's an old friend, Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau. Steve's been the boss over there for how long now?
32 years I just started. 6 days, but who's counting, Steve?
Did you start there as an intern?
A management trainee. Management training, wet behind the ears, still wet a little, but...
And you stab people in the back all the way to the top. Good for you.
You just don't tell anybody.
There's a million things the Better Business Bureau does that you don't even know about. But we always think of you guys first and foremost because we're concerned about something bad that happened.
Correct.
I would also encourage people to look for the Better Business Bureau certification, the stamp of approval, if you will, because that tells your business is getting it done, right?
Right. Most people call us after when it's too late. Look for our BBB seal of trust. And are companies that are accredited by the BBB that we meet our standards and we did some research on them and they take care of their complaints. I mean, because when you have a company that's F-rated and notorious for their complaints and they call us up when they have an issue, that's too late. So we're a referral agency basically. So if you need an automobile, you need waterproofing, heating, cooling, whatever it is, you can reach to us and we can find you a local person in your neighborhood or in the city that's reputable and trustworthy.
All right, let me ask you the question that's on people's minds as they drive now and listen to you and me. Can I buy my way into a BBB seal?
No. Well, your accreditation seal, yes, because you're meeting our standards and that we review.
But I'm saying, can I pay you off to give me a seal?
No, I can't.
I have to earn it.
You have to earn it. It's like a report card. You have to earn it. We don't, obviously. We do rate companies from A-plus to F, and a non-accredited business can have an A-plus, too. So the only thing the accreditation seal means that we review this company and that we it's a sign of a better business. And that's in actuality.
Got it. All right. So here we are sitting here at 9:15, and you have a million things that you'd like to warn us about.
I do.
Give me your top two or three.
This one is recently happening. It's a business email compromise scam, and it's really affecting businesses this time, but it's affecting all of us.
So how's it work?
Basically, you're getting an email allegedly from the CEO of the organization saying either I need you to wire money to me or outside the country, or you need to give me W-2 forms of everybody in our organization. And unfortunately, it's working well for the scammers. According to the FBI, $3 billion was stolen since 2016.
Well, so for instance, the CEO of this company, the brand new company, by the way, the station still has that new company smell. You noticed it when you came in this morning, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes. But the guy's name is Perry Sook. So is that how it would work? The email would look like it came from him?
Directly from him, saying that I need you to the financial person or somebody on staff. I need something sent immediately, like the W-2 forms of everybody sent to this email address, or I need you to wire money outside the country.
This is a good warning for us because in the early days of a new company, when everybody wants to please, I would think this would be very dangerous.
It is very dangerous because obviously you don't know who you're dealing with, especially at a new company. But my HR director received an email from me saying that I wanted my direct deposit changed in my payroll check. She wrote back, said, sure, Steve, what account number would you like? They responded with an account number. So if it affects the Better Business Bureau, it can affect any organization.
Wow, how about that?
Now, does the email look suspect, or is it from like a company email? Like, how does it look?
It looks pretty good because on emails, you see that there's two emails. There's the email address and there's a display name. So most emails allow you to put a display name. So I can have mine, Steve Cochran, but underneath it's sburnus@chicago.bbb.org.
Gotcha.
So people don't actually click on that link, or it's similar. Ours was very like Chicago BBC XYZ, you know, so she didn't even see that. She saw my name and assumed it was from me.
Yeah, this is another variation of the emails that just regular people would get from people that say, hey, we found money for you, or
right,
I'm emailing you from this place. I just need your help to get this.
Well, exactly. They're coming from Nigeria. These emails are coming from Nigeria. We found out that we did an extensive international investigation recently, and we hired Steve Baker, who was formerly of the Federal Trade Commission. He found out that 90% of these scams are actually coming in Nigeria, which those other scams you just mentioned started back way when.
So is that Nigeria's new calling card? We are the number one cyber scammers in the world.
It's getting to be there. We don't know exactly why. There's a lot of educated people in Nigeria as well, they found a way to scam the Americans, and it's not an American problem. It's actually happening in Australia, all over the world right now. When I started, 32 years ago, it was always your neighborhood now it's global.
Well, and also it was physical, right? It was dialing a phone, not a phone you'd carry around.
No, you're right.
And it was knocking on the door. Now we still have people knocking on your door.
Right.
So give me a couple more.
Well, basically, home improvement this time of year, could people get ready for the fall? That's one of our biggest scams. When somebody comes up to your door and knocks on and says they're down the street, that is truly a scam. You know, they may not be, but do some research on them. You just don't go with the first person that comes to your house.
No, and if they leave printed materials with you, say, well, give me a phone number, right, and I'll get back to you if I want to do
exactly
this. They go for the hard clothes.
The hard clothes.
You don't need to say yes just because you don't like right confrontation. It's your house.
It's your house. Take some time. You always want two or three anyway. Whatever type of job you do, you always want two or three estimates, and you see who's lower, who's higher, and the reason why. When somebody comes in front of your door and is saying you're down the street, oh, I got an extra material on truck, that's,
yeah,
you know, and a lot of times they have the fake oil they throw in your driveway, right, you know, so, and it looks good until it first rain and all the oil comes off.
The extra, why am I drawing a blank? What's the stuff you put under a tree in the springtime?
Mulch.
I got extra mulch on the truck.
Right, exactly.
That the extra mulch on the truck, that guy's been in my neighborhood 14 times.
14 times. They do it. That's their excuse they use to everybody. I got extra mulch, and I happen to be down the street. I gave your neighbors a good discount. The variation in mulch, for those who haven't done it, it goes from $700 to $100. So there's a big discrepancy in, depending on whatever people want to pay, whatever city you're in. You're in Wheeling, it's going to be higher than it is Chicago.
It's just so tempting because you want that deal. You want to, you know.
And they don't want you to check out. That's the key. They don't want you to check out the deal. They don't want. They want you to go with them. Right now, you got to give me the money. I'm going to be your neighbor today. I'm leaving tomorrow. And that's what they do.
Yeah, so they make you try to make you feel like you're going to miss out.
Exactly.
Dave, you get your mulch from Amazon, don't you? You have Amazon?
Yes, I do. I get it. And
in boxes?
I get it. We're Prime, so I get it the next day.
Which is very, very handy. All right, that's two. Rule of three. Give me another one.
Well, I think fake lottery, that's still a big issue.
Is it really?
It's still. I can't tell you how many people call us, and they basically said that I won the lottery. Last year, I remember on your show, I told you about an Omaha woman who lost $100,000 in the lottery scam. It's still prevalent today. It's
explain how it works.
Basically, they call you or email you now and say you won the lottery, and we need money. The, you know, the Better Business Bureau says always a tip-off to the rip-off is that you have to pay something.
Mm-hmm. You have to pay something to get the lottery money you won?
I'm giving you $17 million, Steve, but I need $1,000 in taxes, unfortunately, before I can release the money. So you're getting $17 million. Well, what's $1,000? And sometimes they use Publishers Clearinghouse's name, so be careful because they may not be Publishers Clearinghouse. They may be PCH or whatever it may be.
Yeah, unless it's your deadbeat son sending you an email. Don't give money to anybody through email.
Exactly. Or don't give them personal information. I think that's the key.
Your social security number or whatever.
Mom does that all the time.
And they tell you later, you know, I don't think it was right?
Well, no, because she was like, well, the IRS called me and they said that I needed.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't call.
They don't call.
They don't call. They don't take
calls. And they needed my social, and I don't know what I did. And now she was like, and then after I gave them all the information, I thought, that wasn't quite right. I was like, oh. Yeah.
That's the worst thing, taking advantage of older folks who trust.
Trust the key.
And then they feel badly that they got fooled.
They do. But they don't check ahead of time. My mom was the same way when she was living, the same way. Don't answer their door, mom. And also the fake utility worker come up and she answers their door.
I mean, my mom is young. She's just like completely just naive in that sense. I think it's just jarring when somebody says they're a person of authority and they're calling you.
I would like to supply a service because, you know, I only work 4 hours a day. For the rest of the day, I'll just go around to houses where there's been these neighborhood creeps, and they'll have to talk to me. I'll just be waiting right inside your door for them to drop by. And when they talk to me, they won't get so far.
There you go.
Because they're taking advantage of old people.
It happens all the time. It's fake utility. That's another one, Steve, is that they come around. You could buy a ComEd vest anywhere, and they come and they say that they need to get to your basement. And when you let them in your basement, you go down with them, of course. You don't lock your front door. Hence, four or five other individuals just walking right behind and rob you blind.
Oh, my goodness. That's awful.
So please don't open the door to a utility worker.
That is the express lane to hell, which is where you're going.
Hey, how do you verify a utility worker?
You got to call the company itself. So if it's ComEd or People's Gas, you call them directly. Is there somebody in my area?
Well, the easy thing is...
But if they give you a card, you're worried about being rude. Go, listen, I do this with everybody.
Right.
I do this with everybody. I just want to make a quick call to check out your identity.
They want you to do that.
Speaking of Amazon Prime, my building, random people are always dropping off Amazon boxes. They're not necessarily...
All these different truck colors?
Right.
Yeah, you don't know who they are.
Rented vans that come by.
Well, now Amazon has local drivers that they're hiring.
They do. Local drivers.
They have local trucks. Anyway, Steve, you're the best.
My pleasure.
Website is?
BBB.org. Before you buy or hire, BBB it, please.
There you go. Yeah, please. Steve would love you to put him out of business.
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's traveling time. Guess who's online from Berlin? Do you know this?
From Berlin?
Yeah, no. John Weinman joins us. Oh, John, really? Are you there? Johnny, talk to me.
That's a long way. There's a delay in the line.
No. Plus, it's in German.
Yes.
So we're not going to be able to understand them.
Anyway. Guten Tag. Yeah. Guten Tag to you, too. Meanwhile, while we try to figure out our connection to Mr. Weideman, I'm going to turn those buttons off. What am I doing? Remote 9 to you, too.
Hit it, Steve. Just hit it with your fist.
I think it's adorable that you think I know what remote 9 is. Send somebody in here who knows what they're doing. It's not me. It's 9:27. In the meantime, before 10, we're going to try to get to a few more of these texts of things you screwed up at work. Here's the quick version of my story. And again, this has nothing to do with Trump, even though he's had a bad week at work. Second radio job.
Okay.
I was doing a morning show.
Where?
In Elmira, New York. Known mostly for prisons.
Yeah. Is that near Elmira Horseheads?
Yeah, Horseheads is actually where the station was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elmira
Horseheads. It's the name of the town. Hey, Johnny.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm well, Steve.
We'll pick this story up again in a second. So it's 4:30 in Berlin?
Yeah, it's about that.
And what time is game time?
It's not tonight. It's in a couple of nights, but I understand it's going to be in the 7 o'clock hour. And
so you just
7 hours ahead of Chicago time.
You went to the rink just because you felt like you needed to go to a rink?
Yeah, I had nothing better to do with myself, so I jumped on the bus with the boys and sat between Seabrook and Keith, and we caught up, talked over old times. And
good. Yeah. Good. 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 Good.
Steve, I got to tell you, this—you are going to Prague,
yes,
correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, these European arenas are just absolutely beautiful. I mean, well-maintained. The ice is spectacular. Sight lines unbelievable. The lighting is outstanding. I mean, I'm really taken aback by this. It's a great sight line for us as well.
So we don't know what the situation should be like in Prague, but we assume it's the same. And I'd like to storm the broadcast. Am I going to have trouble getting access to you? Will I have to ask and check?
If you bring hot dogs, Steve, I think you're in.
Oh, good, good. The international trade of hot dogs. all right, we don't want to keep John. He's trying to focus on practice. So, Dave.
So I want to know what Seabrook and Keith had to say on the bus ride.
We just kind of. Let's say we just exchanged some repartee.
Oh, okay. Just, so you weren't analyzing the season about to get started.
No, this is broadcaster player confidentiality rules, Dave. You know that you can't violate those.
That's it. You know, it's a little codicil in the contract that you really have to get the periscope or the microscope out and find it.
But. Is the Blackhawk contingent pretty large? I mean, we got the management folks over there, too.
Yeah, Rocky Wirtz is here, John McDonough, Jay Blunk, Al McIsaac, Norm McIver, Stan.
Wow.
The whole group is here, along with all the coaches and all the players. And the boys are down on the ice surface right now, skating in front of me and getting their legs back. The flight, you know, it was a beautiful flight from Chicago. It took about 9 hours, and we landed safely, got on the buses, got to our hotels, checked in, came over here, and now the boys are having their first skate on German ice. It's really cool.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That's John Weideman live from where he is.
Was he on a cell phone?
That couldn't have been a cell phone.
I was going to, because that's not better than people calling us from Oak Park.
There's a wired connection.
He'll be doing the broadcast on Sunday over that line.
Okay. That's another engineer, Bob, because he plugged everything in over there.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And so they take on Eisbären in Berlin on Sunday, that's a 12:30 game, and you can hear it on WGNRadio.com and on AM 1000.
I don't think there's a team called Eisbären Berlin. I think Dave was watching Frozen last night.
Eisbären.
Okay. Eisbären.
I don't know what it means. That's just the name.
Yeah, why am I judging you? You didn't name him.
Eisbären.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking of our friend Kelly Rizzo, big-time hotshot social media influencer and Chicago girl. She's going to be on the phone with us in a few minutes. As I said, we got some more texts coming up as well.
Are you going to finish telling your story?
Not now, because it's news time. Coming up, the dumbest thing I did at work.
I'm Kelly Rizzo, and my extreme passion for food, travel, and music fuels my entire life. from growing up in a Sicilian family in Chicago who raised me to explore and expand my palate, to learning everything I can about the travel industry and putting it to use, and spending my years immersed in the culture and lifeblood that is rock and roll, I now want to share it all with you. Come with me to experience the hottest destinations of food, travel, and music around the world. It's time to eat, travel, rock.
Lightning and the thunder, thunder, thunder.
That's our friend Kelly Rizzo. She's got a bajillion, zillion, gillion
tips.
Followers.
Yes, she does. And yeah, she always has good advice and tips
and
insight.
A couple things I wanted to make sure people knew about today. Hey, Kel.
Hello, hello.
Nice to talk to you as always.
So nice to talk to you.
You know what I'd like? I'd like an updated Kelly Rizzo city guide or two. When could I get that?
Well, you can get them right now.
What?
It's so fun. Yeah, so obviously I've been traveling, you know, I tend to do that every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And my latest city guides are up live now. They're on my Instagram, right in my highlights, you know, those little highlights, right?
Sure.
Right there on your profile. So there's all my city guides there, including I posted a new one yesterday for New Orleans because I just got back from a crazy foodie trip in New Orleans.
So you know, I've never been. I've never been. It's my mother's favorite city. I've never been to New Orleans.
It's amazing.
Well, some advice, don't go in August or September.
A little warm, was it?
Oh, my gosh. Our camera lens was fogging up so much we couldn't even film. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it. But if you're thinking of going, check out my city guides. My travel guides are on my Instagram, and they're on my website, too, at etravelrock.com. So they're really helpful. People have been really saying that, like, these are very helpful, like, sure, at a glance, like, one-page guides for, like, when they're taking their next trip. So I've got, like, 10 cities up there now.
Yeah, and you're also not just putting up the stuff that you find on Travelocity. Oh,
no,
make sure you go to Denny's.
These are tried and true.
Yeah, find
her personal recommendations.
Yeah.
Actually going to these locations.
Right, and she finds the places that are fun. And you got a Blackhawks story?
Well, remember that little Blackhawks convention we both went to not too long ago?
Sure.
So I filmed there for my show for eTravel Rock TV, and we got crazy, like, exclusive behind-the-scenes access. And this was with Chevy Drive Chicago. So what was really cool was they gave away a brand new 2019 Blackhawk Chevy Camaro.
Yeah, they did.
To a winner. And I got to present the winner with the car.
Nice.
And it was so cool. I mean, he was so nice. He was so appreciative, so excited. And, I mean, he's going to take that thing around Chicago and show it off. And it's such a cool car. But I got to present the winner with the car. And then I got to bring him inside the convention. And we had a surprise meeting with him and with Taves and Kane.
How great is that?
Yeah, so we got to film, like, him actually being surprised. We're like, oh, we've got one more little surprise for you. And we brought in Taves and Kane and, you know, took pictures. And it was so nice. But this episode that I just posted just now, it's live up on my Instagram and up on my YouTube and website and everything, is all about the Chicago Blackhawks convention. And they're in preseason now. So if you're getting pumped up for hockey season, you know, this will really help kind of get you in the mood and kind of recap the convention for you guys and kind of show you all behind the scenes.
Great job, Kelly. As always, where am I going to find all your stuff?
EatTravelRock.com and EatTravelRock on Instagram.
There you go.
Miss you guys. Hope to see you back in the studio next time, like actually in person.
That would be great. Did you notice G hasn't said anything during the segment?
Are you kidding me? I was
That's
saying...
because I've been talking so much.
No,
I said that she has the most amazing advice.
I just thought maybe
you
had a question for her.
Travel. Listen, she covered it all.
Gee.
She's perfect.
Oh, thank you, G. I miss you.
I miss you, too.
All right. Enough for you, too. thanks. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kelly Rizzo. All right. It is 9:47. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Oh, I got to finish that story, don't I?
Yes, you do.
All right, but not right now.
Okay, this better be a great story because you have left us all hanging for quite a while.
It involves a minister.
Okay. A shower?
A mistake I made. Yeah, actually, a minister, a shower, a mistake I made on the air, and a cut throat.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's just part of it.
Like somebody that's cutthroat or like a literal cutthroat?
The last one.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, I've done stupid things at every job I've ever had.
Every day.
Yeah, like, yeah, as a matter of fact. I worked at a movie theater when I was 16, and the assistant manager was a creep, a bad guy. And he fired me. I caught him stealing from the till, and I don't mean free popcorn. So when he fired me, I was, this would have been 1977. When he fired me, I was literally on a ladder changing the marquee for a particular movie. So this guy's name is Keith. The manager's name was Ken. So I put up, instead of Animal House or whatever was showing at the time, I put up a few things before Keith's name. I said, Keith, you're stealing money from Ken. And I left it up there, and it was amongst the other movies.
You really did?
Yeah, yeah. But I was fired at that point. But
is this one of the marquees where you have to put the individual letters?
The letters,
up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
that took you a long time.
Yeah, it was before digital.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'm working in Elmira, New York. Uh-huh. At the Big Weenie. That was W-E-N-Y, the Big Weenie. And there was a record out, a punk record. This is 1980, 81. I guess it would have been 82. By a band called the Girl Scouts. And I can't say the title of the record because the title of the record contains the F word. At the same time, there was a one-hit wonder band called Sneaker. Why would I remember that? Because of what happened after that. The hit they had was called More Than Just the Two of Us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of Barry Manilow rocker, like I said earlier. You know, kind of the Mandy thumping sound, you know?
Really?
Real headbanger.
Really upbeat.
Yeah. So this creepy sales guy comes in with this record that has the F word in the title. And the band, the punk band, are the Girl Scouts. So we both thought it was funny that a band called the Girl Scouts would put out this record with the F word in the title. So he brings it in and he goes, have you seen this? Says the title. I said, that's unbelievable that that band did this song, said the title. He said the title, I said the title, he said something, I said something. So the F word ends up on the air like six times. The last time it said, I see the needles bouncing. In the old days, we had these meters, not digital like this, but they actually had little needles that would mm-hmm. tell you if you're talking
VU
in the proper
meters.
Range. VU meters, exactly. And I saw the needles bouncing in a strange way. So even at that point, while I was completely incompetent operating the equipment, I knew that something was wrong, and I noticed I'd left the microphone on.
Wow. So people could hear you over the song?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they could have probably heard me over...
the Guns of Navarone.
Or the Guns N' Roses. But they could hear it. So in other words, the F word got on the air a bunch of times in this little town in Elmira, New York. The radio station was owned by a nice man named Howard Green. Now, this is the trauma. I don't remember, you know, any of the owners, except for Nexstar Communications. I don't remember any of the owners, because you just don't. Ownership's changed and all that. But I remember this guy, because he was a guy that was going to fire me. Turns out I wouldn't get my first firing until 4 years later, because he brought me into his office and told me what I had done. And by that point, the flop sweat should have told him that I knew. And he said, and there's more, the preacher at his church had a very early version of the shower radio.
Oh.
And he was listening in the shower, shaving. And when he heard the F-bombs flying, he literally cut his neck. He, like, sliced his neck.
Hence the shower and the cutthroat.
Right, right, right. Now, I said something really creative at that point, like, I'm fired, aren't I? And he said, no, you're not fired, but I want you to learn from this. And clearly I didn't, because I got fired 9 other times.
Right.
But that I never made that language mistake again. To my knowledge, there's been no cursing from me, even when appropriate, on any of the shows I've done since then.
The follow-up to that was, well, did you learn your lesson?
No, not so much. Not so much. But I was very lucky. He should have fired me. He should have fired me.
He saw something in you. He saw something special.
Yeah, I was the idiot that would get up at that hour.
Did the preacher survive?
I'm glad you mentioned it. I also met him. Good guy. Just laughed it off.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Did he tell you you needed to come to church?
He did ask me which church I attended, and I told him. because it's the one I saw on the way in that morning, and I knew the name. No, I go to church all the time. I don't remember if I was going to church back then, but yeah. So anyway, he survived, and all's well that ends well with a preacher with a cutthroat.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Because I've got memories and travel like gypsies.
Give Monica something, because we're short on time. Monica was a teacher, and she brought rattlesnakes in as a demonstration. And apparently at least one of them got loose in her classroom.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, as long as you're not there. There's also a text that I really can't get into, but because you might be going to lunch, you know, in the next couple hours. But it's about a fast food place. I don't want to say which one, but it rhymes with Schmarby's.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
God, I don't go to Wendy's anymore.
And when I was in high school, I worked at Oil Express. The owner came in and was super impressed when I put automatic transmission fluid in the washer fluid holder.
There's been a lot of fuel, gas, water, yeah. Weird stories with
rough
hoses.
First day at work. Bill, dumbest thing you ever did at work?
Well, Wendy and I were doing mornings at Q101, and our program director wanted us to be on the lookout for new up-and-coming bands.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Nine Inch Nails was one of the most popular bands.
Sure.
And I told my boss,
Trent Reznor.
You know who's big is this band, Nin, because I kept seeing bumper stickers that said Nin. I go, Nin is going to be huge.
That's awesome.
Playing some Nin.
Yeah, and the Battles are really good with Paul and
they're
John good. And Ringo
oh,
and George.
Good. They're so good.
Where's Wendy? Not that we don't like Dane. We like Dane a lot.
Wendy worked yesterday, Steve, and she'll be in again on Monday.
She got the Carson schedule.
Yeah. So David Brunner's filling in for her, just like Johnny used to have.
Okay, that's fantastic.
And Dane Neal's here.
Dane Neal's here.
Yeah.
Yay, Dane.
Yeah.
And John, where are we going to be tonight?
We are going to be at the Beverly Arts Center on the South Side. 8 o'clock show. You, me, Tim Banker, our lovely Bridget Gaynor. You can get tickets at bac@beverlyartscenter.org. Or call the box office at 773-445-3838. Have fun tonight. Come out and watch. Laugh. We'll have a great time.
Yeah.
Great family feud.
And we think there's tickets, so check it out.